Last year, we gave her the nickname.
The first lady of college sports.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was, yeah. Was it college sports or Utah sports?
Both.
Okay.
Yep. All sports? Do you want to call her the first lady of all sports?
I don't think there may be others. Maybe.
FLOTUS. Absolutely.
I think there's somebody in D.C. that may take umbrage to that. I'm okay with it because I'm a bigger fan of her than I am of the one in D.C.
They're both extremely stylish ladies.
There we go.
Well dressed at all times.
Holly Rowe. Hello.
Holly Rowe joins us.
I didn't know when I was allowed to talk because I'm laughing. I'm like, I love FLOTUS, but you're right. It's taken. And she's got better arms than me, so, you know, she's got that going for her. So
welcome. What are you doing here?
I'm gathering information for my college football season. This is a great way to get people in their downtime, get story ideas. So when I'm assigned a game for Utah or USC or Oregon, that I already have some storylines that I've been following and I've got some background on kids. I've already set up a couple of times where I can go and watch practices on some of the teams that I have coming up.
Just to let people behind the curtain, when you're a sideline reporter, as Holly is, you have a whole laundry list of things that you want to get to. That you work out with your producer before the game, and you do all this work, but really depending on how the game evolves, you may not get to it. When you're the play-by-play guy like me, you control all of that stuff, and you're calling the game, but Holly's got a laundry list of stories, and you may do all that work during the week and leading up to it, and you may only get one or two stories into a game because of how it plays out. Is that frustrating?
You know, it kind of used to be, but I've changed how I started doing my job, and I really credit my boss at ESPN, Ed Placey, and I started doing this about 5 or 6 years ago, is like you kind of go into the game with these pre-prepared story ideas. But if you're really a good sideline reporter, you're going with what's happening in the game, and so he and I started charting my reports. And if I could get 90% of my reports from something I didn't prepare going into the game, that I reacted to in the game, or that I knew because of how the action went in the game, I felt like I'd done a good job. So I'm trying to actually, you do all that pre-preparation so when the moment happens in the game, you're ready and you know why or how to react to it, but that you're not too pre-prepared.
Sometimes the play-by-play gets really wordy too and doesn't send it down to
just
the
toss it down
enough.
That's only in radio, not
just
TV where she's working. By the way, you didn't have a pre-prepared story for Kaylin Clay putting the ball down on the half yard line last year, did you? Holly was on the sideline.
I was on the sideline.
That was the one game you did last year.
So here is the best part. Like I don't want to brag on myself too much.
No, do it.
No, please do.
I'm so proud of myself. So we're doing that game, national audience. So I see the official at the end zone. I'm on the other end zone, and I can see Kaylin go into the end zone. We're going to replays. I can hear them already talking about the replays in my headset, already setting it up like Utah goes ahead, da-da-da-da-da. Well, I see the official running with Oregon's player, the linebacker that picked up the ball, and the official is running with, and I hit the producer. I'm like, the play's not dead. The play's not dead. I know officials would not be running if they had blown the play dead. And so because the official was running, I was able to alert our camera guys. And later after that game, our producer, our director, Brad Nessler, everybody was like, thank God for Holly. Because usually I'm the one annoying them. Like, blah, 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 blah. And this, in one particular instance, they were like, you saved our you-know-what. Because I was paying attention. I just didn't take it for granted that it was a touchdown. So that was my proudest moment last year.
The image of the two teams celebrating, I'll never forget. I've never seen that, and I may never see that again. Two end zones, two teams celebrating. Unbelievable.
It was crazy. And then later in the national championship game, Oregon had a play where a player dropped the ball going into the end zone, and Marcus Mariota was kind of standing nearby me on the sideline. I'm like, come on, of any team, they should know you don't do that. And Marcus kind of looked at me, and he walked over and he talked to the kid like, hey, we have been on the good end of that. Let's not be on the bad end of that.
Holly Rowe sitting down with us, talking a little Pac-12 football, college football in general here at Pac-12 Media Days in Burbank, California. You're all over the country, but your heart is in Utah. What do you think of this year's Utah team? The media picked them fifth to finish fifth in the South, and you got Devontae Booker down here. He's going to be one of the best running backs in the country. Jared Norris, unbelievable linebacker. They return a bunch of experience on a defensive line that lost Nate Orchard and yet somehow might be even better this year. How good do you think this Utah team is?
Do you want my answer as a national media person or as a Utah alum that's
somewhere,
you know,
in between?
Utah, worried about it? Okay.
I want it as a Utah alum.
So here's my question, and this is appropriate because Gary Anderson is here shaking your hands right now, and I'm so annoyed with him for stealing – Kalani Sitake from us.
Yeah, you and
as
everyone
the defensive
else.
Coordinator.
He's public enemy number one in Salt Lake.
So, I'm bummed.
This is,
I heard
this
him.
Is,
I just heard
this
Coach
is real radio here.
I did grab him. I'm sorry. She's, I did.
Holly is accosting Gary Anderson live on the air right now.
I'm sorry. No, but I'm mad, but you got a good one. You got a good one, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Are you going back to Corvallis?
We're going home, yeah.
Okay.
Gary's going back to Corvallis.
Tell him we said hi, and we're sad he's gone.
I'll see Kalani tonight.
Okay. I want you to hug him, though. Like, hug him. Yeah, hurt him like I just hurt you. Okay. Good to see you,
Coach. Only Holly Rowe could get away with things like that.
This is Holly Rowe and yes, Gary Anderson saying goodbye, and Holly weighing in on her being upset that Kalani's gone, and you know, that's a lot going on there.
I know. That was a lot. I thought there was this great vibe with the defense last year. And, you know, it's this really unusual thing is Utah is one-third Polynesian, the players. It's very unique in college football that so much of your team. So to have a defensive coordinator that's also Polynesian that had a way of communicating with guys, and there was this attitude. I don't exactly know how to put it into words, but it was rolling in Sac Lake City. So I'm bummed about that. I'm concerned about the offense because the game we did, you know, Kendall got injured in that game. Travis Wilson really struggled. I just don't know if we have the signal caller right now to get it done for Utah. So those are my concerns. However, anytime I've underestimated Coach Witt, he finds a way to get it done. So I'm going to remain hopeful and optimistic with those questions in my mind.
You go around the country and get to see some of the best, if not the best game of the weekend, one of the best games of the weekend. Outside, if you want to include the area too, but who's your favorite coach to deal with? I'm not saying who's the best, but who's the guy that you just love interacting with that either opens up to you and Brad and Todd, or you just love going to practice? Who's the guy that's in football, at least?
This will surprise you, is Nick Saban.
Really?
So Nick Saban is awesome with me. I mean, our halftime interviews walking off the field, those can always be awkward and, you know, whatever. He tells me real stuff. Our safeties aren't doing this. We didn't play the we don't have guys in the box. Like, whatever.
Honesty?
He gives me real honest answers, which I find so refreshing. So I've really enjoyed him. And then he teaches me stuff. Like, I go to practice and watch them, and Saban is awesome in practice. I watch him work with his secondary. And so I learn from dealing with Coach Saban. I love him, and he treats me well and respects me, and I really appreciate interacting with him.
I wish if I asked you the converse question, you would answer it, but you would never answer it. Or would you?
No, one of my old nemesis, nemesis is too strong a word, but Lloyd Carr at Michigan, like we had a few awkward interactions going off at halftime or whatever. But, you know, it turned out that years later I would see him, and he called me once on Christmas Eve to say, "Hey, Holly, I miss you. I miss seeing you on the sidelines, and I appreciate everything you do for college." He called me at home on my home phone number, Lloyd Carr from Michigan. So I feel like we worked it out. But, you know, it's always awkward going in at halftime. Those are never the
Yeah, and you're getting a guy, if it's not going well for him, you're getting him at his worst.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. Those are awkward interviews. Yeah. But fans want to know. Like, they really do want to know what changes. And that's why I appreciate, you know, Urban Meyer will tell me real stuff. Nick Saban will tell me real stuff. So I appreciate it because fans want to know that.
Yeah.
If the Heisman Trophy is going to stay in the Pac-12 conference this year, who's going to win it?
Ooh, that's a great question. So Cody Kessler would be one of my top picks. Devontae Booker would be one of my top picks. And he's a sophomore, so this would be a challenge. But Royce Freeman is a beast at Oregon.
Absolutely.
My concern is Oregon is a little unsettled at quarterback yet, and so who's going to be getting him the ball might be a question mark. But those would be my top three guys. I made Devontae Booker give me a Heisman pose. Like, I wanted to ask him
perfect.
The question about it. He brought up the H word before I did. And so I'm like, well, if you're going Heisman, I want to see what your pose is. So he threw it down for us. It looked pretty good.
We were talking about this a little bit earlier. We have never, as long as I've been following Utah football, and I grew up in Salt Lake City, I have never seen Utah football be so unabashed about, yeah, we have a guy that is a candidate. They don't throw that word around in Salt Lake City, Utah. Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. If you don't talk about it, if you're not shooting for it openly, right, it makes you accountable for it. And he said, if you haven't set the goal, how will you reach the goal? Right. So I like it that
and especially he has no PR machine. If he's going to even be in the conversation, he's got to help out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's a shy, kind of quiet kid. He's not going to promote himself too much. So say it's a goal, set it as a goal, and go for it.
I think it's a recruiting thing too, though. If you don't promote your best running back and then you're going to recruit a running back, another school is going to say, well, don't go to Utah. If you're Oregon, and Oregon and Utah are going after the same, Oregon puts up billboards in Times Square for their guys with Nike money and all that other stuff. If your teams are going to recruit against you, they don't promote their guys. We will. So I think it's almost today, you're in the Pac-12, you're with the big boys, you've got to promote your own guys. Otherwise, it could hurt you in the future landing other guys.
Absolutely. And get behind it. You know, own it. I don't have any problem with that.
You're
a full-on Devontae Booker in the mail, like a book of Heisman information, you know, as a voter in the mail.
That's catchy. And he hinted at something for the Michigan game, didn't he?
Well, we speculated that the Michigan game would be a good place.
Maybe we led the witness.
And we dug deep. But let's just say that that you having him do the Heisman pose might not be the only time we see it from him this year. And I love it.
And he said Witt would be okay with it.
There's a certain amount of moxie or swagger. You talk about the way the defense was rolling with it last year, and it's recognizable. The whole Sac Lake City campaign and the energy that whole staff brings. And thankfully, John Pease is not going to let that dip too much. But it hasn't been there on the offensive side of the ball for a few years. And I think that maybe Witt recognizes it now, and Devontae certainly recognizes it. And I think that they're going to have that a little bit more of that swagger, whatever you want to call it, on an offensive side that's been absent from Utah football for a while.
I like what you say is they haven't had an identity to brag about, per se. So get one, you know, and he's been so successful running the ball. Own it. Get one.
And he's got the offensive line to kind of support it, right? You don't get to do those big campaigns without the support staff, right? Like, no one wins an Oscar if they're the only good actor in a movie. Like, Devontae's got an experienced offensive line, and the one guy they're plugging in, it looks like, is Sam Tevy, who's very, very athletic. And I think that offensive line is going to be better this year than they were last year.
We were talking about this on the show the other day, Holly, and because you go around the country, I think there's one definitive, really, really good one team today I would definitively put in the playoff, and that's Ohio State. I think Urban is loaded. What he's been able to do in a short time is just ridiculous. Again, though, he inherited a great loaded – I mean – Urban never goes someplace where there's not talent already, so he knew he could win. But give me a few other teams you might see in the playoff in January. You'll be around the country. You'll see a lot of them. Who else today, Holly Rose, preseason Final Four, who else would you put in there?
Yeah, I think Clemson is a team that is kind of under the radar this year. You know, they've underachieved in some people's minds, but they've been super consistent. They have a new young quarterback that's going into his sophomore season that he could be really good. And then Auburn. I was just watching a replay of the Auburn-Alabama Iron Bowl. And Auburn is going to be loaded. And, you know, they've got a new defensive coordinator in Will Muschamp who gets it done on defense. If he can turn their defense around, I think Auburn is a team that can be very good. And then, you know, Ohio State, I was a little disappointed this week because they are so loaded. And then they get four of their best players suspended for their first game. The only thing that will stop Ohio State this year is themselves. And I was very disappointed. Joey Bosa is a team leader. Jalen Marshall is a great kid and a team leader. And for them to make a mistake that gets them suspended for their home opener.
Don't they open with Va-Tech?
Yeah, Virginia Tech. Their only loss last year.
And Frank Beamer called that the biggest, most anticipated game in Va-Tech, at least regular season game in Va-Tech history.
Yeah, so they're going to be.
And they beat Ohio State in Blacksburg the other year.
But yeah, and you know, it's poor leadership for your team. It tells you that maybe guys aren't focused on what they're supposed to be focused on. So that disappoints me about Ohio State because last year we did the Sugar Bowl where they beat Alabama, and Urban told me at the Sugar Bowl, man, we're okay this year, but, man, we're going to be really good next year. And, of course, they won the next
year. So you've got Ohio State, Clemson,
Auburn.
Do you go with TCU or do you go with somebody out of the Pac-12?
Well, I love TCU. Trevon Boykin is an awesome guy and an awesome quarterback. So TCU is probably who I would pick out of the Big 12. And, you know, I don't want people to sleep on USC. They had major depth issues last year that they would fade in fourth quarters. They lost five or six. I think they lost four really close games down the stretch.
Including one at Utah.
And so they get that depth back. They're loaded. You know, they had the most NFL draft picks in the conference, even down with only 72 scholarship players last year. So USC is still somebody to really pay attention to this season.
Shift gears real fast. Okay. We had your friend and broadcast partner, Fran Fraschilla, on the show the other day.
Oh, awesome.
Franny loves Larry and the program. You came back. You saw a couple of games last year. Obviously, the program's in the right direction. Is Utah a national program again? Are they getting?
Absolutely.
Are they? Has Larry in the short time got them back to national status?
Absolutely. I thought they were totally nationally relevant last year. You know, they lose a heck of a player, but they're not going to drop off too much. You know, obviously Jakob Pertl. I don't even know if I say his name right.
That's
every
correct.
Time. I tried
unless
not to,
he's changed it again on us.
No, because I know he said it was Pertl, and then it's Pertl, and so I'm going Pertl. I actually tried to catch up with his parents in Vienna this summer when I was in Europe so we could do an interview with them and have it ready for when he blows up, becomes like a first-round draft pick this year, but they were out of town. So, no, Larry's got it going. He's a fantastic coach. I feel like they're recruiting. The new facility is going to be huge for Utah.
Opens in a couple weeks.
I literally said this to somebody recently, like, I'm so happy to have Utah basketball back where it should be. You know, I was in the Majerus era. He was a great mentor of mine, helped me, wrote me a letter of recommendation that I think got me started on my career. So Coach Majerus was big for me, and I'm so grateful to see us back in some prominence again.
All right. We don't want to keep you too much longer. You've probably got to go do
so
a bunch of things.
You guys. Thank you.
She's the FLOTUS.
Absolutely.
Hashtag FLOTUS.
Like
First
it.
Lady of all
great
sports.
Great knowledge.
First
like
lady
it.
Of all sports, Holly Rowe. She may live part-time in Southern California, but she's ours in Utah. And don't let your friends ever tell you any different.
Thanks for the background, too.
Listen,
great depth and background to what you do and how you do it so well.
Oh,
it was,
thanks,
it was awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to
we're going to do some check-ins during the season
Please
with
do.
You on
yeah,
the show.
Wherever,
whenever you've got a big game on the weekend, we'll do a Thursday or Friday check-in with
Love
you.
Love it. Please
and
do.
And hopefully you'll maybe have
Please
a Utah
do.
Game.
And when I'm
year.
In Salt Lake, I'm listening to you guys all day long. So sometimes I want
well
to call
said.
In like a
well
caller.
Said.
Yeah.